I'd like to, before I preach this morning, we'll be reading two different texts today together. One will be in Matthew chapter 1, the other will be in John chapter 1. So as I'm giving this brief announcement, you can be looking for Matthew and then also looking for John. Both those texts, again, will be in chapter 1, Matthew 1, and John chapter 1. While you're looking for, while you're looking for that, I have an exciting announcement for our 1 o'clock, or our one service at 10 o'clock on the 23rd. So we have one service on the 16th, somebody say yeah. And we have one service on the 23rd, somebody say yeah. I'm holding you all to it. The 23rd, after that service, we're having a Christmas after party. And it is going to be just kind of a transformation kind of thing, but more than that, just a celebration. We'll come in for the service, and we will worship together. You'll see some things as you come in. I don't want to give too much away, but you'll start seeing it if you follow us on social media, and you'll start seeing some of the details that we're going to do. Here are a few, though. We're going to have a spot for kids to decorate sugar cookies. We're going to have a spot for them to hear the reading of the Christmas story. I believe we're going to have an open fire pit where you're going to be able to make some s'mores together, an old truck for photo opportunities there. And a few other things that we have planned for you. And we would love for everybody that attends that service, we'd love for you to maybe bring somebody that you know, somebody that you like, somebody that you don't like, bring somebody with you to church on that Sunday, and then stay with us for a while after that service. We hope that we can generate some Christmas memories for you. We hope that we can create some new ones with you. And we hope that maybe as we bring 9 and 10:30 together, that new friendships will be created and that we will just be in an environment that screams, we love each other and we love Christmas. Does that make sense to anybody but me today? I'm kind of excited about the whole thing. First time we've done something like this. And so we want to invite you officially to the Christmas after party on October 23rd. Mark it down. Be there. Will somebody else beside me be there? Say amen. That I said something wrong. Mom's December 23rd. There we go. Man. And I'm preaching today. Look out. Stand with me this morning as we read the word of the Lord together, beginning in Matthew chapter 1. Continuing the series, Emmanuel, God is with us. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 23 says this, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Somebody say amen. Amen. John chapter 1, Sharina quoted it earlier, we're going to read it. John chapter 1, verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Will you please pray with me this morning? Jesus, we love you. And as we have prayed this morning, worshiped together, we have given with one another, and now we purpose to discover something out of your word together. In order to do that, God, we need the presence of the Holy Ghost in our life. In order to receive new revelation for your word, we need the Holy Ghost to speak, the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And so we're asking for that. God, would you speak to us today? And as you speak, would you give us ears to hear what you are saying? As we hear that, would you allow our mind to comprehend it in ways that we can apply it to our life? And as we hear it and comprehend it, may it seep down into the deepest parts of our being. And as it does so, God, I pray that it would find good soil. That word would find good soil and it would be planted in our life. And it would produce fruit in our lives and the lives of those around us. And God, I pray that you would also give us courage. Courage to do what you've asked us to do. Courage to be who you've asked us to be. We thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, if you can agree with some of that, will you say amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated this morning. Last week, we kicked off the series, Emmanuel, God with us. And to state it very briefly, we said in order to understand fully God with us, we've got to go backwards and understand that God is for us. How many of you know today that God is for you? God is for us. And so last week we introduced that idea that God is for us. It was Advent Sunday last week, the very first Sunday in Advent. And that first Sunday talks about the hope of the prophet, the hope that God would be with us. As I stated, to understand God with us, we need to first understand that God is for us. And Romans 8, we ended last week with that great benediction from Paul, this great celebration that ends, if God is for us, then tell me who can be against us. Somebody say amen to that. All right, do I have to give you the same thing I gave you last week? Ready? Real quick. It is Christmas, somebody. It is Christmas. It is the most wonderful time of the year. That, my friend, is why I play the drums. We have reason to get excited. And I'm not forcing you to do something that's out of character in this service, but sometimes we just need a little amen and a hallelujah and a come on, let's get each other inspired by this thing called Jesus, by this person called Jesus. And Romans 8 said, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Hallelujah. And we stated last Sunday that above all of those things, God is able to do this because he is faithful to us. And he proves his faithfulness in so many different ways. One of my favorite ways is when he produces the kind of sunsets that we get here in the PNW, in the Pacific Northwest. And we talked about the faithfulness of God. This week, we're going to cover two things. Last week, we talked about God for us. This week, we're going to talk about two: God with us and God in us. Very important. God with us. Let's start there. Matthew 1:23. We've read it. I'm going to read it again. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jumping up just a couple verses, we read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, she will give birth to a son, the angel talking to Joseph, and he says, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. If you listen now, Luke chapter 2, verse 21 says this in the Christmas story. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, meaning Jesus, he was named Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. The name that the angel had given him before he had even been conceived. In Matthew chapter 1, 23, I'm going to read it again because it's important. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son. They will call him, say it, Emmanuel, God with us. Two things real quick. Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of the name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Jesus means, very literally, the Lord saves. Emmanuel, we know from last week and this week, means God with us. So we have this dual name. We have a name that the angel tells Joseph, you're to name him Jesus. Why? Because he will save the people from their sins. Jesus means God saves, the Lord saves. And you're to name him Jesus because he will save the people from their sin. And then the word says, and they will call him Emmanuel. His reputation will say that he is Emmanuel, not just God who saves the people from their sins, but God who left his dwelling in the heavens and to come incarnate in flesh to be with us. So we have Jesus because he will save them from their sins. And his other name, Emmanuel, God is with us. Let's talk about the goat right now. The what? The goat. If you follow sports at all, you will understand this acronym, G-O-A-T. We talk about the GOAT when we refer to Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. We talk about the GOAT when we talk about Derek Jeter or Ozzie Smith. We talk about the GOAT when we talk about Wilt Chamberlain or maybe Mean Joe Green in the NFL. The GOAT. It's an acronym that means greatest of all time. The GOAT. And so social media will see these little pictures of these GOATs and they'll argue Jordan was better than Kobe. LeBron was better than all of them. And on and go. It's humorous. It's comical. The bottom line is we have this acronym that's infused itself into our culture and it's the GOAT, the greatest of all time. In 1958, renowned mathematics and astronomy professor Peter Stoner studied and calculated the chances of the fulfillment of messianic prophecies. He concluded that the probability of even 8 of the 108 messianic promises coming to pass, conservatively speaking, is 1 in 100 quadrillion. I didn't even know that was a number. So that is one in one, and then there's 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 16, 17 zeros after that one. The probability of Jesus fulfilling just 8 prophecies out of the 108 that are given is 1 and 100 quadrillion. Jesus fulfilled 108 of them. Go, yeah, come on, Vicky. Jesus fulfilled 108 of them to the T. Not missing a step, not missing a spot, not missing, as the Bible says, a jot or a tittle as it corresponds to the writing in the alphabet. Jesus nailed every single one of them. This makes Advent. This makes the Advent season, the Advent of Christ, one of the most significant, if maybe the most significant, miracles in all of history. I'd like to propose this morning that Jesus, quite simply, as they would say in the sports world, is the GOAT. Yeah. Come on, somebody. He is the greatest of all time. And he is Emmanuel, God with us. So let's talk about relevance for a minute. Okay? Relevance. Why is all of this relevant? Why is it important to us beyond Advent, beyond Christmas, or beyond any Christian celebration for that matter? Read this. I hope it's going to show up. I'll read it to you. It's small. Why is this relevant? Why is it important? When Jesus came to earth, he came to lead a broken world to a place where we could be made whole. Again, oh my goodness, I'm looking at some people who ought to be shouting, jumping, hallelujah, Jericho marching around this phrase, because you are screwed up, messed up people. And I am right in the mix with you. We were broken, we were hurting, we were messed up. The world Jesus was born in was broken and messed up and hurting. But when Jesus came to earth, he came to lead a broken world to a place where we could be made whole again. And that could only happen if God was for us and if God was Emmanuel, God with us. And as we'll learn in just a few moments, if God is in us. Interesting observation. Jesus, Emmanuel, came to be God with us. Very literally, God incarnate in the flesh, in the mix with us, and not excluded from anything humanity was subjected to. Fully God, fully man, and part of his coming was to bring relief to a world that was broken and hurting. Part of Jesus' job was to bring relief, immediate, observable relief. We will see in reading and studying the Gospels that Jesus would plainly fulfill the prophecy in Isaiah 61:1-3. Where he says that I have come to preach the gospel, I have come to bind up the broken heart, I have come to heal, I have come to bring joy in the place of mourning, joy in the place of ashes, all of those things. We see it in Luke 4:14-21, where Jesus comes in to the synagogue and he comes and he grabs the scroll of Isaiah. Picture this with me. He comes into this place about 30 years of age. He comes and he sits down in the middle of the synagogue, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all of the people there, people gathered around to learn and to hear from this great teacher. He grabs Isaiah, the scroll of Isaiah. He doesn't even have to search. He just rolls to where it's at. And he quotes this out of Isaiah 61. Proclaim the good news. Heal the brokenhearted. All of those wonderful, beautiful things. And then he says, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus will go on to preach the good news. He will go on to heal the brokenhearted. He will go on to proclaim freedom for the captives. He will go on to release prisoners from darkness. He will go on to comfort those who are mourning. He would go on to bring gladness and joy and relief. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, absolutely came to bring immediate relief to the people that he came to. He brought right now help and healing from things that were binding and hurtful and damaging across all spectrums of life. From physical needs to emotional needs, psychological needs, religious needs, cultural needs, political needs, etc., etc. He came to bring relief to the immediate circumstances that he was transported and birthed into. Because that's what Jesus does. He brings relief and it's immediate and it's observable. But consider this, he also came to bring long-term resolution, and I use that word on purpose. He didn't come to just put a Band-Aid on the hurt. He didn't just come to put some gauze on the injury. He didn't just come to put a splint on the break. He came to bring long-term resolution to the problem of humanity. On the eternal spectrum, God came to prove that he was God for us, with us, and in us. On the eternal spectrum, he came to bring long-term resolution with the real problem with humanity, and that was separation from God and sin's hold on people. He came to heal, yes, but he also came, as John 3:16 says, to give eternal life for those who would believe in him, to resolve what the enemy had complicated, to resolve what humanity had complicated, to bring long-term resolution. He did that when he chose to be with us, and as John so beautifully says, to make his dwelling among us. So again, why is this relevant? Because God still longs to be with us today. God still longs to be with you today. God still longs to be with the family member you can't stand. God still longs to be with the neighbor whose dog poops right in your yard after you mow it. God still longs to be with those that are so broken they can't help but break and hurt others. God still longs to be with us today. Past Advent, past Christmas, he still longs to heal across every spectrum of life. Can somebody say amen to that? Because you've been healed across every spectrum of your life. He wants to be in the hurt. He wants to be in the tension. He wants to be in the struggle. He wants to be in the rejoicing and in the celebration. He's not afraid of any of that. His desire is to be with us. Advent and Christmas remind us that God is still with us. He never left us. He never forsook us. God is still with us. And it doesn't stop there, because now we move into the second piece. If God is for us and God is with us, then God has promised to be in us. It doesn't stop with God with us. Jesus himself would say in John chapter 14, verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He says in verse 17 of John 14, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. In verse 18, same chapter, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. John 14, verses 5 through 16. Let's turn there. And we have time this morning, so let's read this together. John 14, verses 5 through 16. Flip through there quickly. I'm not sure if I gave this to the crew upstairs, so if I didn't, I apologize. But 14, 5 through 16, listen to what Jesus says in comfort to his disciples about somebody that will come after him. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "I have a funny feeling I'm reading the wrong thing, and I think I am." Am I? 15, 16. Yeah, because I started way back in 5. Here we go. Sorry about that. Verse 9, Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you so long? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command," verse 15, "and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." Jesus says, "When I go, I will send. For this reason, I must die so that I can send the counselor." He made it very clear that who he was sending was coming straight from the Father. He made it very clear that he was not going to abandon or orphan, but rather he was going to send the counselor to come and to not just be with them, but to be in them. And we don't have time today, but that was a very foreign concept to them. How is God going to be? It was weird enough that God was with us. But now Jesus is telling me that God is going to be in us. And then we fast forward through the Gospels. Jesus dies. He is resurrected. He appears to his disciples and to many more. He ascends into heaven and he tells the disciples to wait in Jerusalem. And then we fast forward to Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost comes. And we see that when the day of Pentecost came, that there came a wind, a mighty rushing wind that came and it filled the room with cloven tongues of fire. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit, the Counselor, as the Spirit got in us, as the Spirit gave them evidence, they began to speak of all the greatness of God, the miraculous things of God, things that were not comprehensible to the normal human mind. They began to speak all of these things. Why? Because God had made another appearance, and it wasn't God for us, God with us, but it was God in us. The Holy Spirit had come. When the day of Pentecost had come, Peter stood up and he addressed the crowd. He said, this actually fulfills a prophecy in Joel. In that day, in the last day, God said, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." If you read that verse in Acts chapter 2, you'll notice that Spirit is a capital S. Not because it's a thing, because it's a who. It's a person. God says in the last day, Will you, just like last week, will you do me a favor and overthink this with me for a minute? Because overthinking has a really bad rap. Okay, for me, it has a really bad rap. For none of you, I guess. But God said, in the last day, I will pour out my Spirit, capital S. God didn't say, I'm going to pour out a thing. God didn't say, I'm not just going to blow some wind and show some fire, and allow you to hear some tongues. I'm not going to just pour out a thing like we would pour out some water or pour out dirty bath water or pour out the dishwater. He said, I'm pouring out a person onto you. I am going, in the last days, I'm going to pour out the very essence of who I am. And it's going to flood you. It's going to overshadow you. It's going to impact you. It's going to fill you. And out of that filling is going to come things that you never even thought possible. You will live out what I told you in John 14, that even greater things than I have done, you will do. Why? Not because this Spirit thing was poured out, but because the Spirit person, God's triune nature, would be poured out on all flesh, and things would crank and move and get power and go all kinds of crazy in that world. Because God would pour out His person, His Spirit, on all flesh. God was ushering in a brand new era. Follow me now. God was ushering in a brand new era. Remember the crucifixion story when the veil was torn in two? God said, "You are not keeping me in a box anymore. You are not keeping me behind a curtain anymore. My Spirit's coming. He's big enough to tear a veil. He's big enough to get out of this box. He's big enough to fill you in the upper room. He's big enough to turn the world upside down. He's big enough to do all that miraculous thing. He's big enough to fill you, be inside of you, empower you to do the things that God has called and asked you to do. I can't be contained in a box. I'm busting out of here, baby." It started there because God was, He was ushering in a brand new era. He was paving the way for something grand and marvelous and spectacular. He was paving the way into the wilderness of broken humanity, Isaiah 43:18-19. He was paving a road into the hearts of men and women. He was doing a new thing. He was making a way in the desert, carving streams in the wasteland. God was paving that road one stone at a time. And He would start with a stone that Psalm 118:22 says that the builders have rejected. It is a precious cornerstone, Isaiah 28, rejected by men, but chosen by God to be the chief cornerstone, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. The primary foundation stone, the way, the truth, the life. And His name was Jesus, for He would save the people from their sin. They would call Him Emmanuel because He was God with us. And Matthew 1:21 says it so beautifully, as we have read this morning. Why did He come? He came because He loved. He came because the time was right. The fullness of time had come. He came because I matter to Him. He came because you matter to Him. He came because you matter to Him. He came because humanity, past, present, and future, matters to Him. He came to save. He came because sometimes we get tired. He came because sometimes we get weak. I have a word for somebody this morning, and it's embedded in what I'm going to read right now. He came because sometimes life is so stinking tough. He came because we get tired. Tired of fighting. Tired of racing to the proverbial wall and fighting off the attack of the enemy. And it seems like there is no reprieve. He came because He knows the battle rages. And the temptation seemed to creep into any exposed crack in the wall. Just like water seeps into any little crack or hole and you find yourself running ragged just to keep the wall from a full-blown breach, a full-blown failure. He came because there are times when giving up is so much easier than pressing in. He came because there are going to be times when giving in is easier than armoring up. When settling is more attractive than striving. When quitting is easier than fighting. That's why Jesus came. That's why He paved the way for the Holy Ghost. That's why he died. That's why he rose. That's why he defeated death, hell, and the grave. That's why he set captives free. That's why he chose to make his dwelling among us. That's why he chose to be Emmanuel, God with us, because he knew we could never, ever do it on our own. And he wanted to make sure we had every resource to continue to do it, not alone, with Emmanuel, who is God with us. Emmanuel, who is God in us. Emmanuel, who is God for us. That is why he came. He is God for us. He is God with us. He is God in us. To me, this is the perfect example of the triune nature of God, the Trinity in full-blown effect. God the Father, the God that is for you. God the Son, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, the God that is with us. God the Holy Ghost, the God that has poured out his Spirit, and the God that is in us. Stand with me this morning as we read the words that actually Sharina quoted earlier and stole my benediction. God is for you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God is with you.
Amen.
Amen. God is in you through the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
For unto us a child is born. It's my favorite at Christmas time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for being God. God with us. God for us. God in us. Thank you for coming, for dying, for raising again, and fulfilling everything that was spoken of you. God, will you please help us to keep this fact, these facts in our head through this Advent season and even beyond, as we celebrate when you came as Emmanuel. Minister to each need this morning, Jesus. Touch every hurt, every spot of brokenness. Be with us also in our rejoicing and our celebration for the good things that you have done. God, this morning collectively, we simply say thank you because you are flat out amazing and we love you. In Jesus' name, can somebody say amen to that this morning? Hey, I love you lots. I'm so glad you came to church today. Thank you for being with us. I'd like you to love on somebody on the way out. Encourage somebody. Smile at them. Give them a handshake, a hug, or a high five. Love on them. Pray with them if you feel the Lord leading to do that. We dismiss you this morning with the blessing of the Lord. May you have a great day and a great week. We'll see you next week.